Have you ever heard of a Yes Day? Movie came out a few years ago called Yes Day. Jennifer Garner, she's the mom in the movie. When she was younger, she used to be a free spirit and just go where the wind blew her, but then becomes a mom. And like, you know, many of us parents start saying no a whole lot. That's what her kids are used to hearing from her. Until they agree for one day, 24-hour period, I'm going to say yes to anything you ask within these boundaries, okay? Can't outlast the 24-hour period, so no, we're not getting a puppy today. It's got to be in this location, this budget, and then fire away. We'll do it. My kids have seen that movie enough, they actually ask me for yes days sometimes. And we like that concept because we know the word no is necessary. We use it. But who likes to hear it, especially when we think we have good intentions? We think that this is the plan that we need for our life, that this will work out, this is wise. And then at times, God seems to step in and close a door and say no, or make us wait a really, really long time for what we think is best, or completely change our plans altogether. That is the same, similar struggle that David is going to have at this point in his life. He has settled into his palace. Life has settled down for him. He's no longer living on the road, on the run, with sweaty warriors. He has come to Jerusalem. Last week we talked about he brought the Ark of the Covenant, this awesome object of worship, home to Jerusalem, and now he's sitting in this expensive palace looking around, maybe getting a little restless like some of us do when life is going well for once and we're not just running on adrenaline. And he gets this idea, I want to give thanks to God. I want to build a house, a temple, a permanent place for God. And what happens when God steps in and says no? After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." Okay, meet Nathan, David's pastor, the national pastor of Israel at this time. He's a prophet, and he's going to become important in the coming weeks as God makes him step in and deliver some really hard messages to David. But here, David gives Nathan the pitch, all right? Nathan, I want to build a house, a temple for God. What man of God, upon hearing that, is going to tell the king, no, you know, it would be better if you didn't do that? Of course he's going to say yes. Let's build a national center of worship to bring God's people together, promote worship of the true God. It's a no-brainer. But that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I've not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I've been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I've moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" Is God preparing Nathan for what is to come? The really hard message he's going to have to deliver to David when David is caught up in his sin of adultery with Bathsheba. First, he's going to make him go back to David and say, "Wait a second, David, God says no." David is doing nothing wrong here. He has good intentions, good motives in what he wants to do for the Lord. But God turns the tables on David. He gives him the principle that all of us need, that God reserves the right to say no. Even if we have the best plans, the best motives, right? It's God's world. It's God's kingdom. And that's where he's going to go with David next. He's not depriving David. He's not being mean. But when he says no, he says yes in so many other ways, starting with the 40-year reign of David and the promises he's going to make to him during that reign. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone. I've cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel. I will plant them so they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. God turns the tables. He says, David, you want to build me a house? No, I'm going to build you a house. He teaches him the principle here that God is the builder and architect of our lives, and in this case, of David's kingdom. He gives promises for a generation, for 40 years here to David. And to David and to us, that's a big deal. But to God, a generation is nothing, right? He says, David, I'm the one who found you as a shepherd boy and made you shepherd of my people, king of my people. I've built your life. I've built your kingship, and I will continue to do so. Here are my good plans for you during the 40 years you reign. But it doesn't stop there. He keeps on going. What starts with a no to David's plans becomes pouring out blessings on David's kingdom during his life and then even after David's life. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I'll raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He's the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I'll punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands, but my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Now, if God was just promising to build David's house and his kingly line, why would we need to be talking about this today? What does that have to do with us? Sure, we could get some morals from the story, see how David handled being told no to. But there's more than that for us here. This has to do with us, and here's why. This is an example of a prophecy in the Old Testament. You watch for this pattern, this formula. You're going to see it all over. Where a prophecy has two fulfillments. There's an immediate one right after David's life, a short-term fulfillment, and then there's an ultimate long-term fulfillment. God's already said, I'm going to build your house for 40 years during your life. But then he keeps on going. Every king's wish is that his line will continue, his family will stay on the throne. So much usually goes wrong within a generation that a king's line doesn't last. So as the immediate fulfillment, God says, your son is going to sit on that throne. And of course, he's talking about Solomon, who had come from that relationship with Bathsheba. Solomon would be the one who would build God a house, a temple, and the kingdom would become prosperous and world-renowned during his time as king. That's the immediate fulfillment. If you keep studying the lines of kings, you find it goes on after Solomon, but it gets really messy. The kingdom splits. Many of the kings are terrible and not people of faith at all. Instead, they throw it in God's face all the time. They're not people who keep their promises. They're disappointing. until the time of the Babylonians, when they come in and they crush Jerusalem and the temple Solomon builds, and they take the king from David's line captive. And it seems that the line has ended. So what does this have to do with us? The gospel writers tell us that the kingly line did not end at that time. In fact, you heard about it today in the angel's appearance to Mary, right? David in the Mary and Joseph in the line of King David. That line continues. And that is the ultimate long-term fulfillment that happened for us. That David's line continued in Jesus. And you know what? Jesus agrees with that interpretation. Because he himself says, one greater than Solomon is now here, talking about himself. And now wrap your mind around this. We've been talking about God building a house for David and a kingly line and God building the kingdom. God's promise to build a house for David, it actually continues in Jesus in this way. God becomes the very house he promises to build. Remember when Jesus said, destroy this temple, referring to his body, and I will raise it again in 3 days? There's the temple. There's the house of God and the presence of God among his people. And then think even deeper. In the prophecy, God said he would discipline his son by the hands of sinful people with floggings, right? Solomon would get off track. He would do a lot that was wrong, and God would discipline him and use hard things to bring him back to God. That was true of Solomon in the short term, but it was also true of Jesus in the long term. That at the hands of sinful men, he had nails driven into him. He was flogged. Why? All the wrongs that Solomon and David and you and I have done, how we have been a disappointment and not kept our promises, all of those wrongs placed on Jesus, judged by God in our place. All of this happened for you, not just for David. Not only is Jesus the house of God, the temple of God, but we are told that when the Holy Spirit moved into you, you became part of that house. Jesus is the foundation, but you and I are built piece by piece, person by person, into a house of living stones. That we are now part of a community of saints, a kingdom that has no end and will endure forever. All their kingdoms collapse, not this one. And so to really bring this home this weekend, on the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, I want you to think of what we've been handed, especially the young people here, what I take for granted so often. Do you think when the founders set out to make this nation on their experiment of democracy, do you think they ever envisioned what it would become? I've been reading some of their works this week, and it has blown my mind that their vision, their long-term thinking, let's try this experiment, see how it works out. It's never really been tried in this way before. Do you think they saw 13 states going to 50, a few million going to 300 plus million people, a worldwide influence, surviving a civil war, two world wars, and all the divisions, but yet such prosperity and even relative safety compared to the rest of the world and world history? Do we realize how blessed we are? At the end, as David responds to God building his house, he says a phrase that has just stuck with me all week, and I want to make this the theme of this time of my life, and I ask you to think about that as well with celebrating our nation. He says, who am I, sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you've brought me this far? Isn't that our reaction to being born into this nation and having the blessings we do? Who am I? And as great as that is, and celebrate it with fireworks and watching the World Cup and boats and picnics, as great as that is that you live in this nation, do you realize even Solomon and David longed for a better country? The author of the Hebrews tells us, Solomon and David, they knew they had it good and God's blessing on them, but they knew they had something even better. And so do we. So let's appreciate what we've been given. Let's take care of it. Let's be a part of it. Let's support this nation. Let's do our part. Let's be part of the solution. But even more than that, let's look at what we also have in Jesus Christ. Even when God says no to some of our wishes and desires and plans, what he said yes to in Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immluth.org. Have a great day.